Are you looking for a money reset? With the new year upon us, the Jill on Money podcast is here to help you take control of your financial life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We are getting you ready for the Beltway Blitz. Show's brought to you by the law firm Kondori & Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate, administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today, kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Beltway Blitz today will cover the NFL and the Commanders in detail. We also will be expecting a call from Chigga Conquo, the new tight end, as he heads to the airport. Busy day over in Ashburn. They're bringing all these players in, kind of going through the car wash of signing their contracts, meeting with the media, getting to the airport. They're doing a little bit of all of those things. So looking forward to talking to Okonkwo, but let's get you your Beltway Blitz. We'll start you off with Nikki Javalo, who covers the Commanders for The Athletic. Nikki, what a busy few days for Adam Peters. What do you make of what he's been able to get done?
Yeah, I like what he's done. I think he hasn't, you know, he hasn't gone out and been reckless with the amount of cap space that they have. I think they've gotten good and versatile guys. It's definitely made the team younger, faster. So I really liked what they've done so far.
It felt like, well, let me go to this part of it, Nikki. In terms of receiver, they didn't win the bidding on a couple guys, but they were involved. So it shows you that it kind of, that they recognize the need as well. What do you think the plan is there?
Yeah, I could see them adding in the draft and getting, you know, one or two veterans later on in free agency. And I think that's a smarter play. I don't think it would have been wise to spend $30 million on Alec Pierce. I mean, he's a very fine player, but do you want to be saddled with that contract? I don't know that you want that. With everything else they need, you're going to be paying Jaden pretty soon. Like, I think they made the wise move. And I feel like, especially in this year's draft, you can find a really good receiver, maybe even on day two. So, yeah, I could see him doing that.
Nikki, what changed about your vision for the seventh pick based on the money spent and positions addressed?
Wait, say that again? My vision for the...
For pick number seven, based on what they were able to accomplish in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like it's fairly open. Maybe they don't get... I mean, though, if they feel like an edge rusher is really good and they really like the guy, it would never surprise me to see a team take him, even though they've signed, you know, two pass rushers and, you know, another reserve. I mean, two of them are like a one-year deal, so it's... I would not surprise me at all. So I'd still say it's open. You know, they still have to the running back room, so it wouldn't surprise me if Jeremiah Love is sitting there and they really like him, that they take him. So I don't know that my vision has totally changed just yet.
What do you think the plan is at center? Is it just Nick Allegretti and, you know, we kind of overread into it looking at the free agent market, or do you think they might do something?
Great question. That's the one move I don't really understand still. You know, at this point, it looks like they're probably going to bring in another veteran and have them compete like somebody they either, you know, get later on in free agency or whatever. But I still don't understand the move to release. To be honest, it only saves them a little bit in cap room, saves them some in cash. But, you know, he was on a pretty good deal for a center, especially considering what Tyler Linderbaum is getting. And I don't think they should have. I mean, I know they were sort of in play for that one, but, you know, to spend $27 million on the center just doesn't really move the needle for me. It seems like that's the plan as of now. But, you know, we'll see if anything changes.
Nikki, to that point, do you think when they moved on from Biadasz, they kind of thought, all right, we got Nick Allegretti, we're fine? Or do you think maybe the plan was to get a center? In other words, if they had it to do over again, would they still move on? Like, what was the logic on that, do you think?
That's a great question. I don't know yet, and we haven't heard from Adam Peters. So I know they were in play for Linderbaum, but there was a lot of center movement before free agency opened. It was kind of weird. And I think you look at the number of guys who could have been available. Sure, maybe you think, like, we can get one of those. Or maybe it was the plan all along. Let's keep Allegretti on 2 years, have him compete with somebody lesser tier. Which I could very well see, you know, because they have to they have two other big contracts on the offensive line. Eventually, they'll have to, you hope, they'd have to pay Connerly, and you got a quarterback coming up. You know, they have some premium positions that they got to, you know, allocate a good bit of money to.
What else do you see happening at corner, if anything? It feels like Amik Robertson is a slot corner, but, you know, as he's talking to assembled media, it's, nope, I can do everything. Okay, well, if he does everything, then what? Sandra's still to the outside, but how do you see that position group?
I think those two will compete. I need to sound like a coach with sort of vague stuff like that, but I do. I think those two, I mean, they have some similarities just in the way they play, their versatility. So I could see them competing, and whoever sort of fits in best within Durante's scheme, inside versus outside, that's what they'll go with. But I think this is the whole point of getting guys who can play virtually anywhere in the defensive backfield is you're going to move them around. I mean, Amik Robertson has played pretty much every position on defense, really, you know, aside from D-tackle. But, I mean, he's, like he said on his Zoom presser, he views himself as a hybrid. Wherever you want to put him, you can.
So I'm curious about the offense. We'll let you out on this one, Nikki. But I saw in the call with you guys, and we're going to talk to Chigakonkwo in just a bit, that David Blau essentially showed him some clips of the tight end position in the Ben Johnson offense. I mean, is that what we're going off of to try to assume what this thing's going to look like? Is like the Lions with Ben Johnson? Or what's your idea there?
I mean, it may not mirror Ben Johnson, but I think that'll be, you know, a big chunk of it. I think that's, you know, where he Blau felt most comfortable as a quarterback. I think that's, you know, what he views as, you know, more of a balanced system, and it's what Washington wanted. It's why they turned to Blau. They wanted more balance, not just in, you know, run pass split, but just overall, you know, they want Jaden Daniels under center. So, yeah, I think it could look quite a bit like Ben Johnson. And we know Blau loves his trick plays. So, yeah, we could get a bit of that too.
Nikki, thank you as always. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys.
Thank you. Let's hit that NFL sounder, please. Our guy Ian Harditz, Fantasy Live, joins us to go around the NFL. Ian, I guess the Ravens could be taken at their word, or we could be a little bit skeptical. Where are you at in that whole saga?
Calling me a little bit skeptical, but you know what? End of the day, it kind of worked out maybe for both sides. Raiders obviously spent a ton of money getting Linderbaum and all those other free agents, and apparently still had the room to bring back Crosby. Meanwhile, Ravens get to keep their first-round pick and obviously brought in Hendrickson. So, you know, one of those things where maybe just a win-win that it never even happened, but yeah, it certainly seems a little bit weird to me.
Is it a win for, you know, the Raiders? I mean, they were getting two first-round picks back and now have a lot more capped questions to deal with.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I just, man, like, just Max Crosby, that dude is so fun to watch, and just I can imagine as a Raiders fan out there, they're pretty happy to have, you know, easily their best player the last decade, unless I'm kind of forgetting someone. So all due respect to Brock Bowers and some of these guys they got coming up, but just in terms of, I think, 2026 upside. But no, you got a good point, you know, two first-round picks. Certainly most organizations would want that. So it does sound like the Cowboys also had some issues with the medicals that were going on. So that would be the one hesitation, and just completely, you know, running over the Ravens and some of these other teams might have had similar problems. But either way, guys, I think the bigger issue is just this ridiculous ruse that is legal tampering that we just continue to do year after year and act like it's completely normal. I mean, can we just start this and let these guys talk in an open manner instead of having this 3-day period? Because that's, you know, what kind of caused the entire thing.
Is there a team that you just don't quite understand what they're doing and why they're doing it?
Yeah, and it's always kind of the Jets. So I get that the Jets weren't in a position this year to exactly, you know, go from one of the worst teams in the league to even probably an average squad. And I don't even hate the idea to bring back Geno. They got their first-round picks for 2027. Obviously, a deeper quarterback class, even though that's what, you know, draft experts tell us about every single quarterback class. But just, again, getting so much older on defense, you know, losing Vera Tucker, the Patriots, like, just doesn't seem like they did much of anything to really increase the overall upside of either side of the football. So, again, as a fantasy nerd, I'm happy Geno's there just so he can hopefully exist in those 3 seconds between getting the snap and getting Garrett Wilson the ball. But just once again, looking like a team where, you know, pretty much every roster move other than Geno is like, what are we doing here, guys?
How about skill guys in terms of, you know, your angle, fantasy or just production in reality, but fits that you really liked, receivers, running backs, where, you know, you are now intrigued?
Yeah, it is funny to me with fantasy. I mean, I understand players get annoyed when people bark at them on Twitter about it, which is very, very stupid, and people shouldn't do that. But, you know, we still talk about yards, touchdowns, receptions, kind of the same kind of stats that normal people do in real-life discussions. I always thought that if we called them impact points instead of fantasy points, we have a much better rap. But, no, I do think some of these running back signings really could honestly be pretty fruitful. I also think it's indicative of this running back draft class outside of Jeremiah Love being pretty weak. But Kenneth Walker going to the Chiefs finally gives them that explosive running back they've been looking for probably ever since kind of early, you know, first tenure Kareem Hunt with them. So really like that. Travis Etienne with the Saints getting the sort of money and probably seeing Alvin Kamara, you know, hang his cleats up or take his talents elsewhere. He's going to be a guy that we see post some big numbers. And, hey, maybe even for, you know, the Washington Commanders. We'll see what the money comes out to with Rashad White. But he is one of these guys that's kind of a jack-of-all-trades, master of none, but, you know, does some of those little things that maybe we don't appreciate enough, like pass blocking, to just give that organization, you know, a good, solid professional running back. And given that, what, Bill Crosby-Marris is the only other guy they have under contract right now, they certainly needed at least one of those.
Ian, thank you as always, buddy. Be well.
Thank you, guys. Go Chig.
You got it. Yeah, we're going to be talking with Chig Okonkwo in just a couple of minutes on Grant and Danny. He'll be calling us in just a few on his way to the airport here on The Fan. But let's squeeze in a quick chat with John Walton, the voice of the Capitals, on hockey. John, let's start with last night. First goal for the Capitals, Ryan Leonard on a power play was a beauty. Then it was downhill from there. What went wrong in Philly?
I think the first period was pretty good, and I would even say the second and third weren't bad. I think there's just enough breakdowns, and as Spencer Carberry said after the game last night, just not enough plays being made. In the Calgary game, he said there were. They were able to execute and they were able to finish, but they just weren't able to do that in the last 40 minutes, despite it being pretty even. There's a few defensive mistakes in there, too. I'm encouraged by what we've seen from Ryan Leonard. He's certainly, you know, with points in four straight goals and two straights, got a couple of power play goals in the last four games, and this team could use the power play help. So a lot to like about his game going into the game here against Buffalo tonight, but I mean, the math's getting short and the runway is just about gone. I mean, you've got to be able to, you know, this is a tough game tonight because you're playing a team that's rested and they're the hottest team in the league. They've won eight in a row. And you hope that you can give yourself a chance. If you get a win tonight, you got Boston coming into town here on Saturday. You know, maybe you're able to get back up and start making the climb, but, you know, you're starting to run out of time. There's no question about that.
Yeah, that building's been electric. They've been a buzzsaw. This is a place, Washington, even when they've been going good, has not played very well. Could be a tall order this evening. We'll get back into some of the bigger picture things I want to drill down on in a second, but one positive in what has been a really tough stretch here is you mentioned Leonard, the kids. You know, you had the multi-goal game from McMichael. I was at the seven-goal output at home the other night. You had Justin Sort of scoring in that game, Ethan Frank as well. I want to see Hendrix Lapierre get the occasional shot up top, because what else are you doing at this point, playing this thing out maybe? But what do you make of some of the youth and the scoring they're getting from some of that young core that's going to be important moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, all of that is valid. And for Justin Sort of, the three-point game against Calgary, and he's got the most points now of any rookie since Kuznetsov in 14-15. So very, very happy with what he's been able to do. Ryan Leonard kind of hit the wall, but he's certainly rebounded. And I agree with you. I think Hendrix Lapierre's got to get some time. You want to know what you have. I would also put on that list Ivan Marochnichenko, and I don't know if that's going to be now. He's not going to play in this one tonight, but I'm hoping that at some point you got to see what he can do too. He's been a good soldier. He's been at Hershey the last couple of years. He hasn't gotten a whole lot of time. And this guy's a first-round pick. You got to see what you have. So I think at some point you'd probably see him. I would not be opposed to seeing Ilya Protas either at some point if they can get him up. They've got plenty of salary cap money in the way that the CBA is now. You know, you can have as many guys as you want as long as you're under the cap. And the cap's after the Carlson trader and no danger of that. So they can do that. And I hope that as they get down the stretch here, if they're not able to rebound here in these next couple of games, and I mean, Boston is an absolute must-win on Saturday if you entertain any chance of getting back into it. Then, you know, I think that's probably what you pivot to, is see what the kids can do.
John Walton on G&D here on The Fan as we get you closer to Capitals hockey. So you mentioned the Carlson trade. I wanted to pick your brain on this. I've heard from a lot of fans on the show, on social media, otherwise, who wonder about the locker room. I mean, this was one of the great locker rooms in the league. And then you trade Dowd and you trade Carlson and they were core guys. And kind of just the state of that union, so to speak. And I'm even talking longer term into next season. Do you worry about that at all?
I don't know that I worry about it, but I would say, I mean, it's a seismic thing that happened, right? So, I mean, guys get traded. It's a business. I mean, I think that John being as here as long as he was and being as big a part of the culture here that he was, I mean, I look to what happened in Philadelphia in the game yesterday, before the game, in the morning skate. The road alternate captain is now Matt Roy. And, you know, the guy is saying for Roy, that's an elevation of sorts, and he is certainly proud of that. And he kind of reminds me a little bit, Grant, of a Brooks Orpik type, you know, defensive, doesn't say a whole lot, you know, but when he speaks, people sure as hell are going to listen. And I think that that's the kind of guy that he is. So I think it kind of passes from, you know, okay, one guy departing is another guy's elevation, and, you know, that's what has made this place what it has for the long haul. I mean, you know, the TJ Oshie left too, and Nick Backstrom left too. So, you know, it's just kind of the nature of it, you know, unfortunately, I guess. I mean, you know, guys get old, guys move on, whatever. But I think the best thing is that, you know, you have that next generation to step up. This is Tom Wilson's team in a lot of ways, and I think will be, you know, as you look forward here, and Matt Roy is part of that. So it doesn't mean that they don't miss him. It's not that it's not weird. I mean, it's weird for us, honestly. So I certainly understand from their perspective. It is not nothing by any stretch, but I think as far as worry about the future, I not so much that, just still kind of absorbing the moment that happened, that, you know, he's not here anymore. And, you know, it's one of two guys for me. I mean, Ovi's the last one now that was here before I got here. So, I mean, it's strange for me to not have Johnny around too.
John Walton, Ken Sabrin, Katie Florio, the pregame crew coming your way in minutes, and then eventually puck drop from Buffalo tonight as the Caps have the Sabres right here on the Fan. Thanks, John. We appreciate you.
You bet, Grant. Thank you.
The voice of the Capitals, John Walton, on Grant and Danny as part of our Beltway Blitz. Commanders new tight end Chig Okonkwo should be calling us in moments right here on the Fan.
On Aspire with Emma Greed, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now.
Minus one total yards for the Titans and the pick six. Okonkwo, he's got some inside Texans territory, inside the 35-30, 25-20. He may go. Stiff arm, end zone. Touchdown, Titans. Chig Okonkwo, not only did he get into the open field, but he showed explosiveness on a 70-yard touchdown reception.
Tom McCarthy normally calling Phillies games, like a Bryce Harper double there on the Okonkwo touchdown on Fox. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks for making the show part of your day. So as soon as Okonkwo leaves the building, he's been meeting with coaches, he's going to give us a call. So not trying to keep pulling one over on you here, but we'll just tell you that he should be calling any minute, and when he is on the horn, you will hear from him. In the meantime, I want to talk about the moves made, including Okonkwo, and juxtapose defense versus offense, because they've done so much more on defense, where they've added Adafe Owen, Kalevon Chaisson up front, Leo Chenal, second level, and then in the secondary, Nick Cross and Amik Robertson, all as starters, Tim Settle and Charles Omenihu as kind of next men up, rotational pieces on the defensive line as well. So if you're doing math, that's seven key contributors and five starters on defense. On offense, Okonkwo is the one locked-in starter added on that side of the ball. Rashad White is certainly going to compete with Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt for touches, probably going to replace Jeremy McNichols as a third-down type back. But they're losing, potentially, Deebo Samuel, Chris Paul, Austin Ekeler, and cut Tyler Biadasz. So they're still minus three starters, so to speak, on offense. Here's what I wanted to pose to you, though. For several years around these parts, and certainly in the Jaden Daniels era for two-plus seasons, the offense has been way ahead of the defense. Is that still the case? I mean, on paper right now, I can make an easy case that their defense is more talented than their offense. The offensive line we've talked about is this, you know, linchpin group that keeps the offense kind of afloat. Well, you've got a new center in Allegretti, bit of a question mark. Chris Paul's likely to leave in free agency. You're probably plugging in Coleman, who was his backup last year. So that's two new starters on the interior in the offensive line. The running back room is fine. Tight end, you did add Okonkwo, so it's pretty set. wide receiver is, though, a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Are they better in terms of just talent and personnel on defense for the first time under Dan Quinn than on offense?
Talent-wise, there's more talent on defense right now than offense.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes. Now, which unit will be ranked higher? I still would bet on the offense because of the Jaden Daniels factor, right? He makes you right. He makes things better. You know, I don't know that you get 90% on fourth downs again, or you don't get the charmed life of before, but still, if he's healthy and available, he could all of a sudden, you know, make a lot of things a lot better. But in terms of right now, if you're picking your 11 starters, and it's not quite fair because of all the sub packages and different things that happen, but let's say you pick your top 15 contributors on offense, top 15 contributors on defense. The most talented guy is Jaden Daniels. I think the defense would win that face-off if you, each time you kind of went, okay, the number two guy on offense, number two guy on defense. Okay, McLaurin probably wins. But then as you took it on the list, the defense would win more of those matchups of the top 15 contributors than the offense.
Well, let's just do an exercise here. So the Commanders O-line against the Commanders D-line, which would have been a significant O-line win a week ago. Right now, I'm going to go left tackle to right tackle. I'm going to say Laremy Tunsil, Brandon Coleman, Nick Allegretti, Sam Cosmi, and Josh Connerly. You got a stud in Tunsil. You got a really good player in Cosmi. A developing, projectable, stellar player at right tackle in Connerly, but still a bit of a project based on the ups and downs of last season. And then again, two question marks on the interior. A defensive line where you've got Adafe Owe, Deron Payne, Javon Kinlaw, Kalavon Chaisson, Tim Settle, Johnny Newton, Dorrance Armstrong, Dietrich Wise, and Charles Omenihu. I think the Commanders' defensive line has its way with the Commanders' offensive line.
So the best player in there is Laremy Tunsil, right? The left tackle. After that, again, I think you're probably given the advantage to the defensive line.
All right, then let's go. We'll go like backs and tight ends against linebackers, I guess. So linebacker level for Washington would be improved because Leo Chenal replaces Bobby Wagner. You've gotten faster and more athletic there, obviously. But with Chenal, you've got Frankie Louvu and the run and hit, speedy, young, ascending player that is Jordan McGee, who I still think could carve out a nice role on this team this year if they don't do anything else at linebacker. But let's just say it's going to be Chenal, Frankie Louvu, Jordan McGee, and then special teams players like, you know, Kane Medrano, Nick Ballore, Ale Kaho, whatever, against a running back room of Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, Bill, Rashad White, who, if you guys are just joining the show, was added to the team today. And at the tight end spot, Chigga Okonkwo, John Bates, and Ben Sinnott. That's close.
I would narrowly go with the offense there.
Especially after the Okonkwo addition.
Yeah. I think that's probably the nod I'd give. But again, the point is it's closer. It went from what the hell are they going to do to, hey, they got something, right? And I like that group of backs and tight ends.
And then if you're looking at secondary versus receivers, they still need help at both sides of the ball. But it's Terry McLaurin, Luke McCaffrey, Treylon Burks, Jalen Lane, biggest area of need, versus a secondary we've added Nick Cross and Amik Robertson to the group that they had. We'll get back into that in just a second. Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome on to the show, the new tight end for the Commanders back home in the DMV because he's a Terp. From Maryland, Chig Okonkwo. What's up, Chig? Thanks for the time, man. You're on with Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm doing great, man.
Do we lose him there, or what do we still have? Chig, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here so much. Y'all can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. We got you now, buddy. First, congratulations, dude. Walk us through it. How did it happen?
Yeah, man. I'm just sitting there, you know, for a couple of days, you know, just anxious about, you know, just hearing calls. Get a call from the agent saying Commanders want to, you know, make a move, and then, you know, just start talking with them, you know, get on the phone with the staff and hear their vision that they had for me. And then from then I was just, you know, super enamored by it and made the decision ultimately to come up here.
Was Washington a team you were interested in as you kind of did some of your own research to think about where you could end up, or did you not look at free agency that way until calls came in?
No, they're definitely like one of the top teams, you know, from even before free agency when I was looking up where I was could potentially end up.
And then specific to how they sold you, you talked about the staff and the vision. How did that go? Who talked to you? What did they say? What were your conversations like David Blau like? And it's an offense none of us have seen. How did he talk about what you would mean to the new offense?
Yeah, like the Blau, Rye, you know, Coach Quinn, and just they all just had a vision for me, man, just to come out here and just be a playmaker, be explosive, be that spark, be that guy, you know, who can, you know, run routes, do different things, be a mismatch, just be a playmaker with the plays that I'm given, you know, be super tough when I get the ball, you know, anywhere on the field, just use my yak abilities. That's just what, you know, they're looking for a guy like me to bring to the offense.
Yeah, give us put your scouting hat on and give us the Chig Okonkwo scouting report. What do you do best and well right now? You kind of touched on some of it there.
I say my toughness, mental mentality, you know, just explosiveness, hard to bring down. Yeah, you know, make the first guy miss. You know, good hands, good, you know, super fast speed routes. You know, it's everything. I feel like I'm a very, you know, very complete player. That's what I'm bringing.
Chig Okonkwo with us on Grant and Danny. He's a 26-year-old tight end, former fourth-round pick out of Maryland. Has spent his entire 4 years in Nashville with the Tennessee Titans, and now he comes to the nation's capital to play for the Commanders. You know, when I look at you and the offenses in Tennessee, and not to be disrespectful, but the quarterbacks you've played with in Tennessee as well, you have put up some numbers, but it's kind of been in spite of the situation at times. Career highs last year, 56 catches, 560 yards. How much do you think is still ahead of you in terms of what you could tap into and what you're capable of in this league that we haven't even seen yet?
What's up, man? I feel like I can do double. Just do double what I've been doing in Tennessee. Opportunities weren't always there. You know, just sometimes it just felt weird. Our offense just felt weird, but I'm just super excited, man. Like you guys said, there's just so much more potential. I feel like that there is for me. And just hearing that there's a coaching staff that sees a plan for me, has a vision for me, you know, from the first week of the season, I'm just like super excited of what that can look like, you know, over a full season, just being schemed up from week one and going into the year, just knowing that I'm going to have a role on the offense.
Chig, when you say the offense sometimes felt weird, is that mean like the 235-pound tight end who can, you know, is faster than a lot of receivers running barely a 4.5 40. Like, he's uninvolved at times? That's pretty weird. That's a weird way
that
to do it.
That would seem weird.
Very weird, you would think, right?
Like, there's these weeks where we had a guy on from Tennessee who covered the team, and he's like, it's strange with Chig because some weeks he just has, like, two catches for 15 yards. And I'm like, yeah, because he had two targets. Like, it's just strange to me.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you that you guys can see it, man. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, that's what it is. Pretty much it's been like that. And then have to answer, oh, why is he not doing this? I'm like, bro, I'm not getting the chance to do it. But, yeah.
So what do you envision here? I mean, we've all been excited about a more, I hate to say pro style, but, you know, Cliff did some good things last year. But David Blau running like that Ben Johnson kind of offense, you know, a little bit more asked of the tight ends. What could this look like, do you think? We're all wondering.
I can see the tight end eating. I know that from all the offense I've seen that he's ran before, the tight end always just is like a prominent aspect in the offense. And having a good, and whenever the tight end is good as well, the offense always does, you know, really well. So, yeah, I'm super excited, you know, just to be able to go out there and do things that I wasn't really asked to do, you know, in Tennessee.
What have you improved upon the most since you first came into the league?
I think my mentality, just having a strong mentality, like this league, you know, it's a hard league. It can really get to you mentally, especially if you're not, you know, exactly where you want to be. And just, I feel like when I was a younger player, my mentality wasn't, you know, as strong as to bounce back, you know, from something. I think where I am now, I just have a very strong mentality and I'm very strong-willed and just very excited to get going.
Chig, one of the things we saw, I do a podcast with a former NFL tight end who was watching the tape, and he fell in love with you. He called you a dog in the trenches, but like how hard you worked, how much you really tried in the run game. I mean, is that something you're prideful about, or do you enjoy, like when I look at you, I'm going, I'm licking my lips thinking 12 and 13 personnel with you split out at receiver and the other two guys kind of in line. Like, how do you view yourself at your best and when you're having the most fun?
Myself at the best, having the most fun, definitely when I'm out there, you know, just using my abilities to get the ball in my hands, really. I think that's, you know, when I'm the best version of myself, when I'm able to run, I'm able to use my athleticism, you know, I'm able to, you know, get the scheme, like get the look and, you know, actually get the ball from the quarterback. And, yeah.
Would you rather truck a guy with the ball in your hands or shake a guy with the ball in your hands?
Oh, definitely truck a guy.
The old Madden hit stick?
That's the go-to move before trying to juke someone.
Would you rather knock a guy into the dirt on a block or first down catch?
Just a first down catch or knock him in the dirt? Probably knock him in the dirt. You said third down catch or
no? It's a great clarifying question. So now you get to do like I just got a first down. I'm pointing to the first down.
Yeah, what's your move, by the way?
Or knock a guy into the dirt?
Because Cam Ward does that thing where he like puts his palm over his nose and then like wiggles.
Like
his
I'm
hand.
A snuffleupagus.
I still don't know what that is exactly. What's your first down?
What if I took the ball? What if I took the ball and knocked someone in the dirt and got the first down?
Go on.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's good.
That's actually
all in one play. Why not?
That feels like the perfect answer from Chigakunkle. All right, before we let you go, we know you're on your way to the airport. Only got a couple minutes left, so rapid fire here. Just some stuff to get to know you a little bit. What is your favorite cheat meal? You get to be as fat as you want to. Nobody's going to judge you. Your cheat meal of choice.
Ooh, a cheat meal. I'll say a Big Mac then.
Oh, you're Big go Mac through guy. The drive-thru and order the number one? Let's go.
There he is.
What kind of classic Big Mac.
God, I love that. What kind of drink are you getting? You going large fry there?
Bro, I'm going to large McDonald's Sprite. You know, that thing tastes like chemicals.
Yes.
It's the best, bro.
It's so good.
It's so different.
It's so good.
It just slaps you right in the face.
It is so good. Away from football, you got some time to kill. What are you doing?
Probably watching anime, playing RuneScape, something like that.
I'd love to follow up on anime. Do you have anything on? I don't know.
So I only know a couple. I mean, I never understand why they run with both hands like sprinted out behind their back, like with straight arms. But other than that, I can get down with some stuff.
Naruto.
Yeah, it's Naruto does that. I don't get why he does that. Are you a Dragon Ball Z guy?
Yeah. Love Dragon Ball Z.
All right, we can talk about that.
Have you watched a show recently that you've binged on Netflix or anything that you've watched a bunch of quickly?
The Night Agent. That's a binge of The Night Agent.
Oh, Night Agent's not bad, actually.
The new season.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And last thing.
Yeah, definitely solid show.
If there's a movie made about you, what actor do you want playing you?
Oh, man, that's a good question, bro. I've never thought about something like that.
You go with, like, a young version, too. Like, if a guy's too old, like, aged out now, you go with, like, a younger him.
Damn. Younger version. Maybe when I had short hair, I'd go Idris Elba.
Ooh, I like
that's
that.
A great
Idris
one.
Idris Elba's my guy,
That's
too.
A great one.
He's awesome.
I'm jealous of that.
All right, so if you cut your hair, Idris Elba's going to play you coming over to Washington. 10 catches in his debut.
Yeah.
Just trucking people.
Exactly.
Love it.
All right, well, I know you got to fly. Thanks for hopping on the show. We appreciate it.
Congrats, buddy, and welcome.
We're fired up you're here.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
You
appreciate y'all.
There's Chig Okonkwo, the new tight end for the Commanders on Grant and Danny. You could just tell when he was talking about that Titans offense, he's a little bit happy to get out of there.
I can imagine someone would be frustrated.
I mean, the quarterbacks he played with there. We used to do this with Terry McLaurin, where it's like, you caught balls from this guy and that guy, and it was bad. But Okonkwo's quarterbacks there, Will Levis as a rookie.
Yep.
Cam Ward as a rookie. Ryan Tannehill, and everyone's like, oh, he was good with the Titans. Not the version he got.
Not at the end.
He got the equal touchdowns to interceptions, Ryan Tannehill, who was poopy again.
Yep.
He didn't get the guy that was like the comeback player of the year. And then, oh, this was actually his best quarterback. Mason Rudolph. Like, those are the dudes he's been playing
with. Yeah, not cool, bro.
This guy doesn't have more in the tank? I would beg to differ.
Mm-hmm.
How many catches are we talking about for Chig this year?
I think it was 10 tight ends had over 60 last year. I would put him in that group.
Oh, I'm on the plus side of 60.
I think we're going north of 60. I don't know if we get to 80, but north of 60 would be quite nice.
If he catches 65 to 70 balls, or as like the guys who are sitting there watching baseball at the high school field in King George would say, 70. With like an M in there somewhere for some reason? 70 balls.
Mm-hmm.
If he catches 65, 70 balls, I'm in a good place. Appreciate him hopping aboard. Is it possible to claim right now that the Washington defense is ahead of the Washington offense in terms of personnel? That's what we're talking about on Grant and Danny.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
In a little over an hour at 6 o'clock, Mike Florio stops by. A couple of NFL items I want to hit with him, including the league trying to add a game on the Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve, Thanksgiving week. They would have a game Wednesday night, then three games on Thursday, including Thursday night football. Then they would have the Friday Black Friday game. I'm all in favor. We'll see where Florio comes in. Also want to get his thoughts on the saga with the Ravens and the Raiders. Baltimore yesterday did everything they could to try to repackage its messaging to say, we did want Max Crosby. We're sad that he failed his physical, and it's a bummer for us that we can't give up our two first-round picks to get him. I just don't believe it. I think if you want to pass a guy on a physical, you can. They chose not to because they realized Trey Hendrickson and their two first-round picks was better than Max Crosby and not having their two first-round picks.
If they hadn't done something like this before, I might give them the benefit of the doubt.
You're referencing Ryan Grant from 2018.
Yeah, the Ryan Grant thing. And again, nowhere near as marquee, obviously, but there was something, you go, really? Okay. I guess, maybe buyer's remorse, maybe cold feet. Who knows?
I want to say it was like $30 million. They agreed to this four-year deal with Ryan Grant. It felt like a pretty good deal for him. He, for a few days, thought he was getting that. Then Michael Crabtree got cut. They immediately flunked Ryan Grant on the physical and went and signed Crabtree. And at that point, you know, the victim in this, if you want to call it that, I'm using air quotes because these guys are very well compensated, but the victim was Ryan Grant, who missed out on a few days of free agency, and other teams may have signed him, and they don't have that money. So right now, if you're Max Crosby and you don't want to be a Raider, and I know he posted on social media that he's back and he's happy to be there. I don't know what else you're supposed to say at this point to win some of the fans back over, but think about it. Like, you're Max Crosby and you want out. There's a bunch of teams that might have traded for you that can't now. Teams like the Colts have gone and spent their money and done other things because they thought you weren't available. So the Ravens screwed a lot of people over with how they handled this. There's a lot of people around the league angry. We'll talk to Florio about that.
Yeah, it's such a major move that I understand wanting to dot your I's and cross your T's. That makes sense. But again, they've got, I think they did three of these in their history. Now it's over a long time, but I don't know how often that happens to everybody else, right? I don't know. It just seems a little fishy.
We were talking right before Chigakonkwo just called in, and if you missed any part of that conversation, you can podcast it after we're done, wherever you get your audio. But I have not felt this way at any point during the Adam Peters era. I haven't even felt this way probably dating back to the end of Rivera's time here. But I think right now, this moment, Washington has better defensive personnel than offensive personnel. And while I'm kind of hedging a little bit as I say it, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should say it with the chest, as the kids say. Put the 10 toes
ten
down.
10 toes down, Grant.
Adafe Owe, Kalyvon Chaisson, Leo Chenault, Nick Cross, and Amik Robertson. You've added five starters as opposed to one on the other side of the ball, who we just spoke to, Chigakonkwo. And there's, you know, one depth piece in Rashad White at running back who might end up competing with Bill. But defensively, it's Tim Settle on the D-line at tackle and Charles Omenihu on the D-line at edge. So it's really 7-2. The defense also didn't lose anything, really. They've lost Bobby Wagner as a starter, but everything else was just depth stuff, back-of-the-roster type stuff. On offense, pass-catching running backs, Eckler and McNichols, gone. Leading receiver last year, Deebo Samuel, leaving. Guard last year was going to get paid because he broke out. Chris Paul, gone. Center, gone. So maybe I shouldn't hedge so much. It's actually maybe not even close. They're way better built on defense than offense for the moment. And I wonder what that says about the number 7 overall pick.
It's a good point. I don't know that it's that dramatic of a gap. I would say the defense has the edge.
Because now, Daniels closes the gap?
No, it's just, again, if you go player for player, I think the defense gets more players. But I think Laremy Tunsil is better than anybody they have on defense. I think Terry McLaurin's as good as anybody they have on defense.
There, you could absolutely make the case.
So it's however much you weight each thing.
Their three best players might be on offense.
And that's kind of my point. Is it depends on how you do the scale. So if you're just, let's make it up this way. Let's say I'm assigning a point score to each person, right? So out of 100, your Daniels, Tunsil, and McLaurin point values are the highest. You'll end up with more points, though, for the defense because they've got more 75s and 78s and 83s and 92s than the offense does. So if you do it that way, but if you go man for man,
right,
you know, the offense maybe gets more players.
It's like 10 or probably 11 of the top 15 are on defense or something.
Right.
I'm just making up a number. Mm-hmm. But the top three are on offense because Tunsil's their best player. I'll put Daniels second, and maybe Terry comes in third above anybody else, although – they're hoping Odafe Oweh has something to say about that when they pay him $100 million. All right, here's what I want to do next. We got an hour till Florio. Rashad White was signed today at running back. So they have now, you know, we've talked a lot about Jeremiah Love at RB. They've signed a running back. Doesn't mean you're not going to take Love. We've talked a lot about the edges. They've signed three of them. Doesn't mean you're not going to take one of them. Talked a lot about taking Sonny Styles at ILB. They've signed Chennault. Based on their free agency so far, what should they do at number seven? What do you predict they would do at number seven? And there's still a lot that's going to change between now and the draft, but we're just resetting here and taking inventory again on March 12th. Based on this first wave of free agency and the nine new players, what is most likely at number seven? We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.